Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be with you once again here this morning. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 14. And as we do that, let me ask you to join me in a prayer of illumination that God might speak to us today through His Word. Because His Word is all that matters. His Word is what changes us. Heavenly Father, contained in our midst and in our hands is the Bible, the precious Word of God. Today we declare its contents to be authoritative, accurate, absolute, and applicable to our life. Heavenly Father, may Thy Word be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive what You have for us this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we'd like to speak for just a few minutes about eating. Have you ate? Do you eat regularly? How's your diet? What exactly do you eat? Today's sermon is entitled Something to Eat. Matthew chapter 14. For those of you that are willing and able, let me invite you to stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Hear now the good news of the gospel. The stories of Jesus Christ, the true account of our living Lord. Verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed Him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," He said. And He directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. This is the Lord, word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. May God add His blessing to this, the reading of His holy word. Amen. You may be seated. Something to eat. Jesus looked at His disciples and said, "You give them something to eat." So the question that is before us this morning, have you ate? Do you eat regularly? How is your diet? What do you eat? As we look at this passage, I would like us to notice 4 important aspects concerning this event in the life of our Lord. First of all, number one, notice the food. In our passage in verse 15, as the evening approached, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Notice the food. I submit to you this morning that Jesus Christ is our food. He is our salvation. He is our deliverer. He is our redeemer. He is our helper. He is our forgiver. He is our hope. He is our refuge. He is our help. He is our future. He is our Savior. He's our provider. He's our sustainer. Jesus Christ is our food. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Have any of you ever lived next to a bakery? Or have any of you walked next to a bakery? Or maybe you went to grandmother's house and smelled fresh baked products. A number of years ago, back in the 90s, I worked for Flowers Industries. Flowers located out of Thomasville, but they're all over the United States. They own Sunbeam Bread, Nature's Own Bread, Keebler Cookies, Mrs. Smith Pies, Snack Cakes, Honey Buns, Fried Apple Pies, all the delicious treats and goodies. In Fort Smith, Arkansas, there was a bread plant. And the smell was great. Hot bread off the line before it was even sliced. In Spartanburg, South Carolina, the northern part of the state off Interstate 85, was a cake factory. Cupcakes hot off the line. Red raspberry coconut Twinkies. Mmm, good. Even before they're placed in the wrapper. Food is satisfying. Food is required to sustain life. Try skipping a few meals, maybe for a day or two, but a week, 2 weeks, a month, a couple months, I don't think so. If we do not eat food, short of some sort of heroic medical intervention, we will die. Food is required to sustain life. But just as we need food for our bodies, we need spiritual food for our souls. Jesus Christ is our food. In St. John chapter 4, Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Notice the food. Jesus Christ is our food. In our gospel reading this morning, we clearly see that Jesus Christ is our food. We read it together. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living bread. Jesus is our food. The food. The old gospel song written back in the 90s says it well. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's good to me. He's good to me. Jesus is good to me. He's good to me. He's good to me. Jesus is good to me. He's life and peace. He's life and peace. Jesus is life and peace. He's life and peace. He's life and peace. Jesus is life and peace. Notice the food. Jesus Christ is our food. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all you need. Jesus is our food. We partook in the Lord's table a few moments ago. In Matthew 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples saying, this is my body. Take and eat. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered to them saying, drink from it all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Number one, Jesus Christ is our food. Number one, notice the food. Number two, notice the faith. Notice the faith. In our passage in verse 16, Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." You see, the disciples' faith was not in themselves. The disciples' faith was not in the bread. The disciples' faith was not in the fish. The disciples' faith was in Jesus. They brought the loaves of bread and fish to Jesus. The disciples trusted Christ. The disciples' faith was in Christ. Our faith must be in Christ. Our faith must be in Christ and in the cross. A faith that believes that Jesus Christ was incarnated in the Virgin Mary, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that Jesus Christ hung on the cross for my sins and your sins, that Jesus was buried. On the third day, Christ arose. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered the power to sin. And Jesus holds the keys to eternal life. And Jesus Christ wants to save all that will come to him. That is our faith. Jesus Christ is our faith. Galatians 2, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Notice the faith. Hebrews 12, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Notice the faith. A story is told of 2 boys playing in the snow one day. When one boy said to the other, "Let's see who can make the straightest path in the snow." For those of you who have not lived in snow, you'll have to pretend and imagine. But walking straight in the snow is not easy, especially if it's deep snow. One boy said to the other, "Let us see who can make the straightest path in the snow." His companion readily accepted the proposition, and so they started on their course across the snow-covered ground. One boy fixed his eye on a tree and walked straight to that tree without taking his eyes off the object, not even for a second. The other boy set his eye on the same tree. But after he had gone a short distance, he turned and looked back to see what his track looked like. Then he went forward for a while and he turned and looked back again. He continued on in this manner until he too reached that final tree. With both boys at their destination, the tracks were remarkably different. The first boy had a track as straight as an arrow. The second boy had a track that was zigzag and crooked as could be imagined. Jesus Christ is our faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus and don't look back. Just as the boy fixed his eyes on the tree and walked to it, you and I need to fix our eyes on the tree of Christ. We look to the cross. We look to the risen Savior. We fix our eyes on Jesus and walk to him. You see, a faith focused on Christ helps us stay on course. A faith that's focused on Jesus help keeps us from straying. You want a straight line? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Number one, the food. Number two, the faith. Number three, the feeding. Notice the feeding. In verse 19 of our passage, "And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Here we come to the feeding. Whatever your need is today, Jesus wants to meet the need in your life. Not necessarily every goal and every desire, but every need. Jesus wants to meet the need in your life. Matthew 25, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. The feeding. We see several illustrations of the feeding in Scripture. In Mark 14, we learn of the woman who poured out the perfume on Jesus. She served him. She worshiped him. The feeding. In Acts chapter 3, we learn of Peter healing the crippled beggar. As he said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. We see the feeding. God meeting needs. God meeting our needs. Whatever your need is, Jesus can meet the need. Whatever the problem or heartache or obstacle, whatever the hardship or disappointment or trial or temptation, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever storm you might be facing, whatever loss, whatever sickness, whatever you're going through, Jesus is there to go through it with you. Accept Jesus' offer of the feeding. Jesus gave us the instruction to implement the feeding as we live out our lives for Him and for the kingdom of God. It was made amply clear in John 21. We read of the account where Jesus reinstates Peter after Peter had disowned his Lord 3 times. Just because you failed doesn't mean you can't serve God. God's a God of a second chance. The feeding. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Notice the feeding. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. You and I are called to be God's agents. You and I are called to be active participants in the process of feeding. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Number one, the food. Number two, the faith. Number three, the feeding. And finally, number four, the finish. Notice the finish. In our passage in verse 20, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. It was a good finish. They finished well. 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Started with a little, finished well, and there was a lot. The finish. Jesus Christ is our finish. With Jesus, we can finish strong. With Jesus, we can finish as winners. We can do this because our past is in Christ. Our present is in Christ. Our future is in Christ. Jesus Christ is our finish. Our eternity is in Christ. Our finish is in Christ. Philippians 3 says, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like His glorious body. The finish. 1 John 5, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus Christ is our finish, your finish, and my finish. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus Christ will secure our finish. Jesus Christ will secure your finish if you let Him. Psalms 146 says, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Jesus Christ wants you and I to finish well. In June of 2018, Alice Johnson was given the opportunity to finish well. In 1996, Alice Johnson was convicted for her involvement in a Memphis cocaine trafficking organization and sentenced to life in prison. Alice Johnson was a single mother of five living in Memphis, Tennessee, when her family was hit with a series of tragedies. Alice lost her seven-year managerial job. Alice lost her home as it was foreclosed on. Her youngest son passed away in a motorcycle accident. Panic and desperate to make ends meet, Alice made a horrible mistake. She began helping to pass coded messages for a drug trafficking ring in her hometown of Memphis. As a nonviolent offender, the district attorney offered Alice a plea deal of between 3 to 5 years in prison, but she rejected it. She executed her constitutional right to a trial. The case went to trial. She lost and was sentenced to life in prison without parole, even though it was her first nonviolent offense. Alice never gave up on the hope of reuniting with her family. While in prison, she worked hard to change her life. During her incarceration, Alice earned certificates across a wide range of areas and subjects. She acted as a mentor for younger incarcerated women. And Alice even became active in the Bible and went on to become an ordained minister while incarcerated. In June of 2018, President Trump commuted Alice's sentence. After 21 years, Alice was released from prison and is using this second chance to be with her family, to tell her story through her work as a writer and speaker. On August 28, 2020, she received a full pardon. Alice states that her release and pardon was nothing short than divine intervention from the God she now loves. Alice was given the opportunity to finish well. In Jesus, you and I can finish well. Notice the finish. I trust some of you might be fans of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball stars Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron were given the opportunity to finish well. During their illustrious careers in baseball, Babe Ruth went to bat 8,399 times. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times, but Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs. Hank Aaron, the Atlanta Braves. Hank Aaron went to bat 12,364 times. He struck out 1,383 times, but Hank Aaron hit 755 home runs. When you and I think of Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron, we don't think about the plate appearances. We don't think about the strikeouts. We only think about the home runs. That they came to bat and hit a home run. Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth overcame the strikeouts and are the second and third ranked players respectively in hitting home runs in Major League Baseball history. Number one's Barry Bonds, number two, Hank Aaron, number three, Babe Ruth. And in baseball, these individuals finished well. But what about in life? What about you and I? Will we finish well? Jesus has given us the instruction to finish well. He made it very clear in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This is how you and I will finish well, with a focus on Christ, with making disciples of others, with telling somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. I close with this illustration. John Wesley was born on June 17th, 1703. He died on March 2nd, 1791 at the age of 88 years, 8.5 months. You and I remember John Wesley as a great success, founder of the Methodist Church, a man that loved God. But John Wesley had to trust Christ daily to finish well. Here is a page from John Wesley's diary covering a 5-week period. Reads as follows. Sunday morning, May 5th, preached at St. Anne's. Was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m. May 5th. Preached at St. John's. Deacon said, "Get out and stay out." Sunday morning, May 12th. Preached at St. June's. "Can't go back there anymore either." Sunday p.m. May 12th. Preached at St. George's. Kicked out once again. Sunday morning, May 19th, preached at St. somebody else's, don't remember the name. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday, p.m., May 19th, preached on the street, was kicked off the street. Sunday morning, May 26th, preached in the meadow, was chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during the service. Sunday morning, June 2nd, preached at the edge of the town, was kicked off the highway. And then finally, Sunday, p.m., June 2nd, afternoon service, preached in a pasture. Over 10,000 people came to hear me. John Wesley did not give up. 5 weeks of rejection. I suspect he was preaching the truth of the Word of God that offended people. He didn't give up. John Wesley finished well. You and I can finish well. In Jesus Christ, you and I can finish. The text of the message. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And I submit to you this morning that Jesus says the same thing to you and me. You give them something to eat. The food, the faith, the feeding, and the finish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is everything we need. Lord, we thank you that no matter what we're going through in our life, the answer is in Jesus Christ. That He's our food. That He's our faith. That He's the thing we feed on. And Jesus Christ is our finish. Father, for any of us that need to accept Christ into our hearts as Savior and Lord, may this be the day we do it. For those in need of deliverance or prayer or counseling, whatever our need is, Lord, you're there to provide. We thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us day by day, moment by moment, many of which we don't even recognize or are aware of. And so now we say thank you, and we praise you. Work in us now as we sing our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment. In Christ's name, amen. As always, as we get ready to sing our closing hymn, these altars are open. If you would like to come forward for personal prayer or time of private prayer, or if you would like to speak with someone about your relationship with Christ, it would be our joy to do so. And so now before we sing, let's receive this good word, the word that Jesus and God Almighty instructed to be spoken over His people. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord let His countenance rest upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen.